It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Veteran investigative reporter Andy Conti recently left the Tribune Review. However, he has not left journalism. He's now the director of the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University. He joins us now in studio to discuss his new role and the need to create a sustainable future for journalism. Andy Conti, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. Kelly McEvers can call me Googs, but you know, you might have to come up with another nickname.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go with Googs for now. Thanks, Googs.
Okay. That's good. All right. Nice hat. You're all decked out for Memorial Day weekend, it looks like.
I'm ready. The summer came with the weekend, so perfect timing.
Okay, and the summer's coming, and the fall is soon to follow, and that means that you're going to be taking a deep dive into your new venture. So I think a lot of people who have followed your work in the Tribune Review are wondering, with this job that you did very well as an investigative reporter, a job that a lot of journalists dream of, why did you leave?
You know, I do feel so strongly, so passionately about journalism, and it seems like the narrative for at least the last several years has been so negative across the board that there's no future for journalism, that journalism is dying, and I don't believe that. I feel like journalism is changing, and I wanted to be part of helping figure out that change for a broader audience, for everyone. And so at the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park, we're going to be part of having that discussion, coming up with some direction, some solutions, some answers, at least creating a forum where we can have that discussion about what's working on the delivery side and on the financial sustainability side.
Before we get into the discussion of what the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park is, let's talk about journalism. How is it changing? How is the model changing?
So it's super exciting. On the one hand, there people want information more than ever. They want it right now. There's so many more exciting delivery ways that people can share information. And it's no longer just, you know, Walter Cronkite and two channels, one newspaper. It's, you know, everybody with a phone is a photographer. Everybody with a smartphone can go out and record audio, and they can do these things.
It can be citizen journalists.
Citizen journalists. On the other hand, you know, with so much information, you need professional journalists to be able to cut through it and say, this is what matters, you know, and this is how you tell a story, and these are the things that count. So those are the exciting things about it. On the other side of it, the flip side, the economics are frightening for journalists. You know, I see a lot of people that I've spent my whole career with who've dedicated themselves to journalism, not because they wanted to go make a lot of money out of it, but because they believe in what journalists do. The whole idea of speaking up for people when they don't have a voice, holding power accountable, being that check on government and corporations, and working for the public. And I see them suffering because society has devalued the value of journalism.
And is part of that craving for information part of the devaluing? I mean, when you have people going on their devices or, you know, doing whatever they do to find out information, but it's not necessarily nourishing information. It's sort of headline tabloid type things that are interesting for the moment, and then everybody moves on without really considering what we were talking about in our previous segment, which was these deep dives into stories to help people understand. Is anybody taking the time to really read an entire article or to look at a long-form piece of journalism on television or listen to it on the radio in order to gain an understanding of what's going on?
I think good storytelling is always compelling. You know, you and I were just at the Press Club of Western Pennsylvania. They had their awards dinner a couple weeks ago. And there you saw over and over all the great stories that are being told right here in Western Pennsylvania, you know, on TV, on radio. You won a bunch of awards, you know, in print and the newspapers. So there's still good content out there. And I think good storytelling wins out at the end of the day. It's still, you know, with all this cacophony of noise and all these different sources of information, yes, it's changing. The whole dynamic of journalism is changing, but there's still a need for good storytelling and for accountable reporting, you know, where you can trust the source of that information.
How many years were you at the Trib?
Started there in 2001, so I was there 15 years.
How did things change just over that span of time? That saw a lot of changes those 15 years, didn't it?
Right. So you think about right after 9/11, whenever, you know, I started in June of 2001, 9/11 happened several months later. And the first reaction was, let's put it out. Let's put out an afternoon newspaper. It wasn't, let's get this up on the web, you know, and you think, oh, that's totally different. And I just saw a video the other day. This girl in New York shot a video from her dorm room, and it's going viral. It was on 9/11. It's only going viral now. I mean, you think if 9/11 happened today, well, everyone would have it on their phone. You know, everyone who was in New York would have pulled out their phone and shot something of that moment. The world has just completely changed in the way we consume information and the way we're all out there generating images and content.
So the scary part for journalists and for the people that run newspapers and television stations and radio stations and, you know, maybe run a website is how do you make the money to keep it sustainable? Because for all the good work that people are doing, if you can't support it or if it can't be supported through some sort of a business model, then what do you do? I mean, you can't run it as a charity, can you?
No, you can't. And it was interesting for that first column that I wrote. I'm doing this new column on media innovation for the Tribune Review, and then we're hoping to syndicate it. And I talked with Clay Shirky, who's a sort of a media futurist guy from New York University. He turned me on to this research that had been done with the New York Times. The New York Times used to just give away its content online, as a lot of news organizations still do. Both the Tribune Review in Pittsburgh completely gives away all of its content. The Post-Gazette gives it away up until the first, I think, first 10 stories you get for free, and then after that you have to start paying. And there was some research that people had done. Scientists had gone and looked at, if you told consumers, well, yes, you've been getting the content for free. Now we need you to pay for it. We need you to pay because the New York Times is going to, they need to make more money. People were like, the New York Times doesn't need my money. I'm not paying them. But if you told the same consumer, the New York Times is going to go out of business if it doesn't start charging for this content, people said, oh, well, I don't want the New York Times to go out of business. I value the New York Times. I'm going to become a subscriber. And so it's putting that value back into the news that journalists create. You know, if you're doing something of value, you're doing good storytelling, it has value. And there needs to be a re-understanding with consumers about how they generate that content, how it gets generated, how they're part of the process of generating it. Nobody works for free.
We're talking with Andy Conti, who was a reporter for 15 years, investigative reporter for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's now director of the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University. Will there still be newspapers 10 or 20 years from now?
It's a good question. I don't know that the old models, you know, the models that we have had in the past, the models that we have today are going to continue in the same form. But I definitely believe there will be journalists. There's going to be good storytelling. There's going to be organizations like newspapers that are out telling the stories of the city. I mean, you think about Pittsburgh, people, that's the other thing that I found with my column, which is interesting. People don't think about winding down newspapers. You know, this question of, well, the newspaper can't go out of business. I count on the newspaper. Even if I don't subscribe to the newspaper, I still count on the fact that there's a newspaper. I might not go to church every Sunday, but I know there's still a church there, and I count on the fact that there are churches.
Somebody's holding politicians and office holders accountable.
Somebody's doing it. And so there's an expectation on the part of the public that this is a vital part of our society. And so, yeah, I think news organizations in some form, news, whether it's on paper, whether it's a newspaper, probably not, right? I mean, the cost of printing and delivering a newspaper is expensive. But is there going to be a format? I mean, you have an iPad. I have an iPad. It was a revelation for me when I got an iPad several years ago, and I said, oh, this is a very rich experience on here. I'm getting the experience of everything I like about the daily newspaper, but it's in a digital format.
And what is going to or will make newspapers profitable? You mentioned earlier about people saying, well, I don't want the New York Times to go away, so I'll pay for that content that I was unwilling to pay for before I realized this. But that can't be the only thing that's going to sustain journalism. So what else is factoring in?
Yeah, I wish I had the answer, right? I'd be out making lots of money. I mean, everybody's trying to figure that out. You look at what Jeff Bezos, the Amazon founder, bought the Washington Post, and he's trying to figure it out. They've invested heavily in digital content with the idea that if we get enough clicks here, we can get, you know, more revenue going that way. The problem is it's not enough to get enough revenue that way just off of banner ads. So what we're seeing now is people embedding ads in with the stories. BuzzFeed's been very good at that. A lot of organizations are moving to that. Another model that you're seeing is holding events. There's a group in Philadelphia called Billy Penn. They do a site where they aggregate a lot of news and they do some of their own original reporting. They've just announced that they're going to open an outlet in Pittsburgh. It's going to be called The Incline. And what they do is they hold events where they get sponsors for the events. The events are often free to participants, but the money they make from those sponsorships fuels their ability to do journalism.
So let's talk about the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park, which you'll be running. What is it? Where is it? It sounds like it's pretty cool, but it's still being constructed. So what's happening with that?
Still under construction. I go in there all the time. They make me wear a hard hat, and you got to have no high-heeled shoes. I don't normally wear high-heeled shoes. But
no. Unless they're Beetle boots with the Cuban heels.
Right. Or the ones with the goldfish and the heels.
Frenchie Fuqua.
Yeah, Frenchie Fuqua, exactly. Right. So it's under construction. It's going to open in September. It's, as Pittsburghers, we talk about where things were before. It's where the Nathan's Hot Dogs used to be downtown. It's right at the corner of Wood Street and 3rd Avenue, right in the heart of Point Park's campus, and right in the heart of downtown. And so it's going to be a street-level TV studio on the corner. There'll be a radio studio there, so hopefully we can come down and do some taping there. It'd be great to have you on campus. And then there's a multimedia newsroom space, and there's also a photography studio. And then the architects, GBBN Architects from Friendship, designed it, and they've made it so that we can open up all of the walls and create a space where we can have speakers in there and events. And so the goal is to really reach several audiences. I mean, one, of course, our students. We're an academic institution, and primarily we want to prepare these students to come out of Point Park ready to go into any news organization in the world and be prepared.
How will you do that?
Yeah, so traditionally, journalism education has been, you're a print journalist, you're a photojournalist, you're a broadcast journalist. I mean, the reality is that if you're going to go out now you've got to be able to walk out and do all of it. And our students, it's amazing to see what they can do with their smartphones. You know, they'll go out and record, edit a TV, a video package, record it, edit it, and have it ready to go up on their, YouTube or something.
You just have to go to the media center and rent. Take out a camera next Tuesday?
Right. Here's my driver's license. Can I take a camera? I'm going to need the Carol for several days for editing. Yeah. Now, in a one-hour class, we'll send the students out on the street, and, not all of them, but several of them will come back with stories that they've already shot and edited on their phones. So that's one of our audiences. The other is working journalists. We really believe this will be sort of a clubhouse for working journalists, a place where they can hang out where there's downtime and a place where they will gather. We're reaching out to all the press clubs, getting them involved. And then the other is the public. I think that's the other really key component. One of my fears, you asked at the top why I got invested in this. One of my fears has been that the public won't realize what they've lost with journalism until it's too late. And so one of our goals there is to do good journalism, bring in journalists, have them talk about the work they're doing so we can remind the public of what's going on.
It sounds fascinating. It's the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University, and we've been speaking with the director of that center, newly appointed, Andy Conti, who for 15 years was an investigative reporter for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Andy, always a pleasure visiting with you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We will have special holiday program for Monday, Memorial Day. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying thanks for listening and happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone.